Tonight, our learning is sponsored by Sandy Grodko in memory of her mother, Brindel Bas Eliezer Yaakov Zechron Lebrecha, by Liz and Yossi Muscat in memory of Yossi's mother, Yocheved Bas Harab Eliyahu Zechron Lebrecha, by Judy Roblowski in memory of her mother, Alta Chava Malka Bas Rav Avraham Yosef Zechron Lebrecha. Baruch Shechianu V'Kiimanu V'Gianu Lazman Hazeh. We resume our learning of the Mesilas Yesharim on a new night in a new location. We'll experiment with the space and see how it goes. But it is the same Mesilas Yesharim, as I noted a moment ago. And we're going to really continue from where we left off. We left off in the 11th chapter of the Mesilas Yesharim, which is by far the longest chapter of the Mesilas Yesharim. So we're going to be continuing in that chapter for some time. And it is the Ramchal's discussion of the character trait, the Midah of Nikiyos. At the very beginning of the Sefer, the Ramchal, based on a Braisa, notes a ladder of different character traits, one leading to the next. First, you start with the acquisition of Zahiros and then Zerizos. And in Nikiyos, he really gives a very expansive overview of many different mitzvos, and the way one can try to approach this midah of nikiyos, of cleanliness, and we spoke about the broad themes within nikiyos at the very beginning of the chapter, but then he goes into very specific and individual mitzvos and isurim, both mitzvos and averos, and how one properly exhibits this character trait of nikiyos in each one. And where we left off, and I guess appropriately where we will restart and pick up again, is on page Ayin Aleph in the Feldheim edition. It's on the bottom paragraph. We're going to talk about the prohibition of rechilos v'lashon hara, which is gossip, and it's obviously a very important avera, a very difficult one that's quite to properly observe. It's quite prevalent, and the Ramchal has a quick description of what he perceives to be proper nikiyos in these areas. Again, at that bottom of page Ayin Aleph, that last paragraph. So we'll read the paragraph together, and then I want to bring out one line or highlight one line in particular. He begins by saying, "Harechilos v'lashon hara kvar chumro noda v'godol anafav ki rabu ma'od." When it comes to rechilos, when it comes to lashon hara, these prohibitions pertaining to gossip and speaking ill of others, people know both qualitatively and quantitatively how serious and severe it is. It's chumro godol noda v'godol chumro noda. People know how severe it is. It's a big deal. And mind you, he's writing before the Chafetz Chaim wrote the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. V'godol anafav ki rabu ma'od, and its branches spread out very widely. Adshakvar Gazru Omer Chachamim Tzuchanu Bracha B'Ma'amar Shakvar Hiskarti V'Chulam Ba'Avak Lashon Hara. Until Chazal declared, it's a Gemara Maseches Bava Basra, that everyone is guilty of Avak Lashon Hara. If you're not speaking overt Lashon Hara, it's very hard to escape the clutches of Lashon Hara, and there's going to be some derivative of Lashon Hara that you end up speaking, advertently or inadvertently. V'Amru Hechi Dami Lashon Hara, and the Gemara in Erechin, that's really the primary discussion of Lashon Hara, appears in Maseches Erechin. He's quoting from Daf Tesvav Amud Beis. It's that section of Maseches Erechin that forms the backbone a lot of the discussions of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. He says, "Hechi dami lashon hara." The Gemara there says, "What is lashon hara?" Going to Amar, "Hecha mishtak achnura ela beplanya." It's a case where somebody asks, "Where can a fire for cooking always be found? Only in the house of so and so." Osha yisaper tovaso lifnei sona v'chol kliyotze b'zeh. Or you say good things about somebody in front of somebody he doesn't like, and etc., and other matters. Af al pish and nirim dvarim kalam urechokim in arachilos yinei be'emes me'avak shalohim. He says, even though these things seem like totally innocent, you're talking about where to find a fire, you're saying something good about someone in front of somebody that they generally have some kind of tension with or interpersonal animosity, even that is going to be considered avak lashon hara. Kualu shal davar harbe dvarim layetzer. The general principle here is, the Yetzer Hara has many derachim, many methods in the context of Lashon Hara. Aval kol dibor sheyuchal lehivali mimenu nezek o bizayon machavero, any speech that can create damage or embarrassment or shame to somebody else, bein befanov, bein shelo befanov, whether you're speaking in front of them or not in their presence, hareza bechlal Lashon Hara, hasanoi umesoav lefnei hamakom, this is considered Lashon Hara that is detested by the Ribono Shel Olam. She'amru alav, and he quotes another Gemara Maseches Erevin, kol ha'masaper lashon hara ki'ilu kofer ba'ikar, u'krasiv milashniva seisa re'ehu oso amtzis. He quotes again a line in the Gemara in Erechin that says speaking lashon hara is as if you're rejecting the fundamental principles of Judaism, kofer ba'ikar, it's as if you're a heretic. And he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim that he who slanders his neighbor, Hashem will atzmis, Hashem will cut off from Klal Yisrael. So it's basically a statement about the strength of Lashon Hara and the scope of Lashon Hara. And again, as much as this is a paragraph in the Ramchal, I'd say most of us, if we read this paragraph, and I didn't tell you who the author was, and I didn't tell you what the Sefer was, we'd associate lines like this with the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim is the one who brought these Gemaras to life and really impressed their significance upon the public consciousness. And certainly, again, if we were doing a limud on Lashon Hara or the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, we would certainly focus on this far more extensively. But what I want to bring out is what I want to focus on is one particular line in the Gemara that he quotes here. And that's the line in the Gemara that he quoted towards the very end of this passage. Kol ha-mesaper lashon hara ki'ilu kofer be'ikr. That speaking lashon hara, it's as if you have denied, again, kofer be'ikr is a strong language. It means you've denied one of the fundamental principles or underlying foundations of Jewish faith. Again, ordinarily when we say kofer be'ikr, that means you're given the halachic status of either kofer, right? Kofer be'ikr, or min, or apikores. We tend to use, colloquially, we tend to use those terms interchangeably. Technically speaking, they're all a little different, but they're all bad. You don't want that status. So why is it that Lashon Hara is kofer be'ikr? And if you look in the Mefarshim, if you look in the Rishonim, there are different approaches to this line. In Shaarei Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah offers two different approaches as to why exactly you are kofer be'ikr. In one, he suggests that if you're willing to do this to somebody else and engage in this kind of malicious speech and activity, it shows that you have no fear of heaven. In other words, it's not that it's Lashon Hara is narrowly associated with kfira, but if you'd be willing to do it, it reveals that you have no yiras shamayim, and you don't really acknowledge the sovereignty of Hashem. Now that could really be said, you can wonder, that could really be said about any Aveira. He doesn't really explain why it's particularly Lashon Hara, but that's one approach that he offers. In a second approach, he suggests that when you speak Lashon Hara, he really attributes a theological statement, really a statement of theological rebellion to those who speak Lashon Hara. You're effectively declaring that Hashem has sovereignty over my limbs and actions, but he doesn't have sovereignty over my speech. My speech is mine. Freedom of speech doesn't only extend, it's not only a constitutional right, but it's a religious right as well. Hashem can't restrict my speech, and therefore I'm going to speak Lashon Hara. Now, once again, it's a very theologically striking statement. I don't know how many people, when they engage in Lashon Hara, are actively thinking that. The Maharal has a really interesting take, where he kind of rereads the words kofer ba'ikar. We tend to think of ikar as ikare emuna. That's how we often use that phrase. Ikare emuna being, again, the baseline and foundational principles of faith that really form the bedrock of Jewish belief. He says ikar doesn't refer to ikar, ikare emuna, but rather ikar ha'adam. You're defying your very purpose and the essence of your creation. There is it's a tradition that is often sourced to Unkelus, Targum Unkelus, that what makes man unique, what distinguishes man from the beast of the field is his speech. On the pasuk that says that vayi adam nefesh chaya, when Bereshit says that man was a living being, Targum famously translates that as ruach memalala, that man was a speaking soul, that man had the ability to communicate and communicate complex thoughts and understand complex thoughts. And that's really what distinguishes man from the beast of the field. That's a whole literature in and of itself. What is it that makes man unique? The Rambam has a whole discussion of that in Hilchos Tshuva. But certainly Targum Unkelus says that it's about our speech. And accordingly, the Maharal says, when the Gemara says that you are kofer ve'ikar, it doesn't mean you've denied one of the foundational principles of Jewish faith. It means that you have perverted the really core of who you are, of what makes man unique and what makes man different. And when you speak Lashon Hara, you've denied that. But for all the approaches in the Rishonim, I want to offer my own drush on this line. And it is certainly not what Chazal meant. I offer it as a drush. For the original intent of Chazal, I referenced the approaches that I said a moment ago. But I think it's an important principle, certainly in our approach to Lashon Hara. And I therefore share it, even though it's, again, I submit it as a drush, not as pshat in that Gemara. And I would suggest that sometimes, perhaps Lashon Hara is kofer be'ikr, it denies a foundational principle of Jewish belief, because there are times when Lashon Hara becomes a religion unto itself. And let me highlight and explain what I mean by that. A number of years back, I had an injury. I injured my shoulder. It was a skiing accident. I've told the story of that accident several times. I got hit from behind while I was skiing. Rav Willig was unhappy with me, and I hurt my shoulder. So again, that story I've shared. A story that I've not shared is my experience with the orthopedist. So I was skiing. I was in Einstein at the time. A lot of my congregants knew that I was skiing. So I go for a day of skiing and immediately put on the shul chat, does anyone have an orthopedist? So people started texting me back. Is there anything wrong, Rabbi? You went skiing today and now you want an orthopedist. I said, no, it's purely intellectual interest. And of course, I got a lot of recommendations. People would always say that, one of the good things about being a rabbi in Einstein is that at least if you get injured, you have a lot of doctors who are your congregants and they can help you out. I always corrected them. I said, I have no doctors who are my congregants. If I get injured, everyone's like, oh yeah, I think I learned about this in anatomy class. And you're like, please don't touch me. Please do not. I think of all the shuls in the tri-state area, Orthodox shuls in the tri-state area, Einstein has the fewest number of actual doctors. But they do know a lot of doctors. So they recommended an orthopedist, a wonderful orthopedist, had a practice in the Bronx. And I went there and he set me straight and he helped me out a lot. But the most memorable part of the experience was not the treatment that I received from him, but the waiting room. The waiting room. I remember it distinctly. I got to the waiting room. At the time, I was doing the daf, and I was a little behind, so I brought my Gemara with me. And in the waiting room was a television, playing daytime television, as is present in many doctors' offices. And in this instance, a show was on that I had never heard of before. It was called The Wendy Williams Show. I don't know if anybody, Rahmana Litzlan, has heard of this show. But I cannot tell you how appalled I was by this show. I was just like so taken aback by what was transpiring and like the words that were entering my ears. The entire show is pure Lashon Hara. Like Rechilos V'Lashon Hara, and takes pride in it. And there's like a juicy pride in that we are going to, it's almost like a moral mission. We are going to talk about all the celebrities and all the things that they wore and all the things that they did. And people just cheer and they're motivated by it. And it's almost like this, you'd think she was an inspirational speaker, speaking about, again, the geschmackite that they're going to have by engaging in the most abject forms of interpersonal gossip that you can imagine. And like, again, I did not get any of my daf learning done. I was transfixed, really, in the most appalling way. I was just so shocked. And it was just one thing after the other. Some nasty comment about this celebrity and another nasty comment about that celebrity, with everybody laughing and cheering and joining in. And it was really, I guess, in some sick way, I admire it. It took Lashon Hara from an Avera and turned it into a lifestyle. It turned it into something to be celebrated, something to be like really just to rally around. In some kind of, again, deeply warped way. And you realize that that's hardly the only instance of that. I mean, again, from what I understand, I'm not a big daytime television watcher, but that's one show that's really just a model or a single paradigm of a whole genre that's out there that people really buy into. It's not just shows, it's written publications, it's written media. Certainly it's all over the internet, it's all over social media, and it becomes, again, something that's more than just an Easter that one occasionally engages in. It's something that really sucks people in and becomes a real focus of their lives. It becomes like its own ideal system, its own creed, its own faith. And I think it's something that even for those of us, when we're not caught up in those kinds of shows of the day-to-day, if everybody watches the Wendy Williams show, I'm not judging, I'm not asking, but even if you're not watching that show on the day-to-day, the mentality sometimes seeps into the back of our minds. There's an expression that I heard once. It's a popular expression that says, a simple mind talks about people, an average mind talks about events, and great minds talk about ideas. Or to some, you know, there are various iterations of that. And that's you know, it's a phrase that people express. I hear where it's coming from. I do take issue with it in several ways. Number one, I think often it's just very pretentious. The person who said this to me was like really into philosophy and was really just celebrating himself for being a great mind that talks about ideas. And I remember hearing him just said, like, just chill, buddy. Like take a break, take a deep breath. I like philosophy too, don't get me wrong. I very much enjoy analytic philosophy, but take a deep breath. I think also, perhaps the most problematic part of the statement is that I think it's often not true. In my experience, sometimes it's the simplest of people with the simplest of faith that are the most strict about Lashon Hara, who will never, ever speak a bad word about somebody else, even though they're not necessarily within the realm of lofty ideas. But third, and I think most significantly for our context, is that I think increasingly those lines are blurred and those lines are violated. Our public discourse has really become about people rather than events or ideas. This is something that actually Reb Brzezinski spoke about when he was here for Shabbos. Our public discourse has just become about, what did this person do? What did that person do? You know, what skeletons are in your closet? It's become a mudslinging fest, a mockery fest. We've just entered this. I don't know how new it is. I don't know how far back it goes. But certainly, when you examine public discourse today, so much of it is caught up in that Lashon Hara mill that really, again, has the power to take over. It's a really pernicious mindset that you need to be very, very wary of and very, very careful of, because it's its own religion that is very, very deeply foreign to our own. So I would say that when we approach the Isra of Lashon Hara, in addition to just thinking about the narrow instances when we might engage in the Avera of Lashon Hara, which we should certainly strive very stridently to avoid, we should also try to avoid falling into the trap of the mindset of Lashon Hara, the mindset of really just the excitement and the relishing of speaking ill of others, the way that people get so passionate around it. We should really be very wary of that mindset that sometimes seeps in from society around us. We should make sure to observe the ikarim of the Torah, the ikar of who we are in the spirit of the Maharal, the ikar of what mankind is all about. We should make sure to observe this mitzvah with the proper nikios that the Ramchal advises.